rolling.
The first day of the year, this year, I gave out a questionnaire. Some of your Rebbeim gave it out as well, different questions to try to get to know the Talmidim. And I put on the questionnaire the following question. Who is your present-day role model of the way you feel a proper Jew should lead their lives and why? We're going to not leave out the names over here. But when I read through the answer to this question, I was very pleasantly surprised that about 90% of the answers to that question was my father, or my mother, or some answer, my grandfather. One answer, my father, because he is incredibly selfless. My dad, he became religious in YU and decided to try and have his family lead a religious lifestyle. My father, he works, but still makes time for shiurim every so often, always davens shacharis and mincha, and has amazing faith. My dad is my role model, because he has already inspired, improved his religiousness as a Jew, his religiosity as a Jew, he meant, and he is always looking to continue to improve and learn more. My mother, she does everything with meaning and enjoyment, takes Bein Adam L'Chaveru very seriously, and as a profession does chesed. My grandfather, because he represents the Jew in the modern world, he values Torah and mitzvahs above everything else, and he has had a successful career and has shown what it means to be an Orthodox Jew in the world. So when I read this, actually, I think it was on the plane right back when I was going back to America after the first couple of days. It struck a chord within me very deeply because I felt and feel the same way about my father, Harani Kaparis Mishkovo, and along with the rest of my siblings. And I was so impressed. I thought, you know, coming out of high school, who would they write as their present-day role model? Maybe someone who was a little bit closer to their age. Maybe a counselor from camp, maybe an advisor from NCSY, maybe a young Rebbe. But yet, Kimat everybody answered over here their father. And usually I do something a little different in the last Sicha of the year. Today, with your permission, I want to speak a little bit about my father. I'm still in Yud Beis Chodesh. And to use the Sichas Musar to maybe tell some stories about my father. And I really believe that it's very relevant for everybody here. I think it could serve as an inspiration specifically to you, to me, to everybody, but for the Torah Shirah Gebuch from Toshim Ayin Zayin. But before we tell some stories, I want to just give a brief hakdama. Let's begin with the parasha, Parshas Bahalosa. There's an incredible sforno in the beginning of this parasha. In this edition, Rav Kuperman, Zichrono Livracha, writes that it actually, this Sforno, in the beginning of the Parsha, actually represents the Hashkafas HaOlam of the Sforno. It's found in other places, specifically by when he discusses Yisachar, Yisachar Chomer Garim. He speaks about this over there as well. And what is the Sforno write over here that he tries to explain the relationship, and many of us have learned it in Kiddushin, between the Beis Medrash of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the Chaverov, and Rabbi Yishmael. And he writes in the first pasuk, "Bahaloscha asaneros amul pnei hamenoro." He writes that we have three on the right side, we have three neros on the left side, and the Sforno writes that the three on the right side, the maiminim, represent those who are oskim bechaye olam, chaye olam haba, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. The masmiilim are those who represent oske bechaye shah. Those who are involved, like Rabbi Yishmael said, Haneg Behem Derech Eretz. Those who are involved in the workplace, Gamer said in Kiddushin, that he teaches his son in Umnis Kal, once you teach his son in Umnis Kal in the Kiyah. And as opposed to Rav Nahorai in Kiddushin, who says, no, So we have the two camps. The Sforno explains so beautifully that the main thing, we're supposed to have these different camps in the Jewish world, within Judaism. But he said the Masmi'ilim have to face toward the Ner Emtsoi. And the Masmi'ilim, those who are involved in the work, in the Chayishah, also have to face towards the Ner Tam, to the center, Ikur HaMenorah, as the Sforno calls it. And he says that when both, what is the Ikur HaMenorah? What's the Ner Tamid? The Sforno writes, that is Avodas Hashem. In other words, when both are in genuine, sincere pursuit of Avodas Hashem, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, those who are sitting in the Beis Medrash, and those who are going out to work, and that's genuine Avodas Hashem, as represented by facing towards the center, then he writes, Yeromimu es shmo yachtov. We're meromim shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu together. And he says that was how it was initially set up. When we accepted the Torah, he says, we said, kol asher diber Hashem naseh. Not eseh naseh. Kilomar, he writes, bein kulanu nashlim kavanasu. Amongst all of us in Klal Yisrael, those who are sitting in the Beis Medrash and learning day and night, and those who are involved in the workplace, if together we're all genuinely doing it as sincere avodas Hashem, facing the center, Nerem Tzoi, then and only then, as he says, Ya'iru Shivas Aneros. What is Ya'iru Shivas Aneros? The Sforno writes, Ya'iru Shivas Aneros, Kol Ashiva Ya'iru V'yashpiyu Or Elyon Yisrael. That will create the ultimate light. The Or Elyon of together, Klal Yisrael, creating the ultimate light of Shivas Haneros on each other. And the truth of the matter is, I was thinking that the Sforno is talking on a nationalistic level, all of Klal Yisrael, but the truth is that we can extend the Sforno to understand how each of us have to synthesize our very existence, our own selves, not on a nationalistic level, on an individual level. Because at the end of the day, most of us are presently or will be involved in both of these worlds, hopefully. Involved in the Chayi Olam, trying to be Kovei Yitim LaTorah and learn, and involved in the Chayi Shah as well. And the key, explains the Sforno, to success is when both aspects of our lives are genuinely Avodas Hashem. The emes is that it's reflected in a Mishnah Avos. The Mishnah Avos says, V'chol ma'asecha yihiyu l'shem shamayim. Every single action of a person, whether it be the most mundane activities, is supposed to be, must be, l'shem shamayim at the end of Perek Sheni in Pirkei Avos. The Rambam, he quotes this l'halacha in Hilchos Deos. The Rambam writes, in the third parak of Hilchos Deos, he writes, Tzarech ha'adam, sheyichavim kol ma'isav kulam, every action a person is involved with, kidei leidas Hashem Baruch Hu b'vad, v'yeshivto v'kumo v'diburo ha'kol umaseh ha'davar. How does one do it, says the Rambam? How does one actualize v'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim? Zot the Rambam, kishayisa v'yitein. When he's in the business world, he's working. O yaseh melacha, litol schar, to make a living. Lo yiyeh belivo, kibbutz mamon bilvad. In his heart, he shouldn't be thinking, money, money, money. Ela, yaseh dvarim ha'elu, kidei sheyimso dvarim sha'aguf, tzarech lahem me'achilu shtiyo, v'shivas bayis u'nesiyas isha. Rather, he's working as a means of his avodas Hashem, to provide money to send his kids to yeshiva, to provide money to be able to support his family, to provide money to provide the vital elements in his household. That's why he's working. That's why he's making money. Imagine you have two people, two lawyers. You have Max and Moshe. They work in the same law firm. They're making the same big fat salary. They're living very comfortably, both of them. They work the same hours. And Max on his desk has a big sign in green with big dollar signs. And underneath it, it says, Kibbutz Mamon Bilvad, working to make money. And the same person sitting next door to him, the same lawyer making the same money, he has his sign, his little Sefer Torah on the top, and underneath it says, Mitzvahs Ve'asafta Deganecha. He's working as a mitzvah, L'shem Shemayim, to support his family in order so that he could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his family could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most optimal way. Two people, that's the Rambam's describing, two people could be doing the same thing. And yet one is completely doing it L'shem Shemayim and the other one is Kibbutz Mamon Bilvad. And the Rambam writes at the end of Halacha Gimel, one who follows the Moshe path, Nitsa Hamahalech B'derachzu Kol Yom Avkulon Oved Es Hashem Tamid. He is constantly serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether he's in business. The Rambam writes, continues, and the Rambam writes, Mipnei Shemach Shavto B'chol Kidei Shimtza Tzrochav Ad Shiyeh Gufo Sholem La'avod Es Hashem Va'afilu B'shoshu Yoshen. Even when he's sleeping, the Rambam says, to recharge the batteries, to reinvigorate a person, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. So the act of sleep is kol ma'asecha yiru l'shem shemayim. And the Rambam finishes, b'chol drachecha de'yu v'yi asher orchosecha. What's so amazing about the Rambam, I heard this years ago from Rav Tursky Shlita, is the placement, or actually where the Rambam doesn't place this halacha. Because if you would ask me, out of all the things in Avos, in Pirkei Avos, that the Rambam quotes the halacha in Hilchos Deos, so some of them he puts in Perek Hay. Perek Hay is a perek dealing with the demands of a Talmud Chacham. Right, it begins Kishem Shah Chacham Nikr B'Chacham Asu V'Deyosav, and it goes through all the things that a Talmud Chacham has a higher standard than every other Jew. Perek Gimel is Kol Ish V'Shmi Yisrael. Where should the Rambam put the demand, the din of a Kol Ma'asecha Yu L'Shem Shemayim? In my eyes, it's a very high level. It's very demanding. I would put it in Perek Hay for a Talmud Chacham. This is what belongs in Perek Hay. It's actually an interesting lima to figure out what the Rambam decided to put in Perek Hay and what he didn't. But L'maisa, the Rambam didn't put this halacha of Kol Ma'asecha Yu L'Shem Shemayim in Perek Hay. He put it in Perek Gimel. What does that tell us? That tells us that this Mishnah, this din of Chol Ma'asecha Yu L'Shem Shemayim is relevant to each and every one of us. It's not relegated to the Talmud Chacham to Perek Hay. It's a din that each one of us are responsible for. So what emerges from the Rambam is a tremendous, tremendous yisod. We've been learning the sugya in Hilchos Talmud Torah. So there's an Or Sameach. There's an Or Sameach in the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Or Sameach writes that a person's chiyuv in Talmud Torah, his long-term chiyuv in Talmud Torah, is different for every person. And the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Baal HaTanya, writes beferish the same thing. Everybody's long-term chiyuv, your obligation of Talmud Torah for your long-term goals, and there's a certain basic minimum we discussed that a person needs to have, but your long-term chiyuv is different for every person. Kol Adam Mashahu. If a person has certain intellectual capabilities, so his chiyuv is greater. If a person, you have to take everything into account, his financial responsibilities, his intellectual abilities, his ability to sit in the base medrash, that's different for each person. And it's not the same chiyuv for each one of us. It's not. However, there's sometimes a mistake that could be made over there. And that is that a person thinks, okay, where am I going to be in life? Ready? We're starting to think about our career paths, what jobs we're going to have, what businesses we're going to enter. And a person says, if he does an honest cheshbon ha-nefesh, and he says, I'm somebody who could learn 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours at night. And I'm not cut out to sit in the basement. I'm not cut out to sit in kolo. I'm not cut out to sit all day. So that is not to say that his obligation
or his, the Torah is demanding of him that his avodas Hashem is 4 hours a day. And my friend, who's sitting and learning 8 hours a day in the morning and 8 hours a day at night, so the Torah is demanding of him 16 hours a day of avodas Hashem. That's not how it works. We're all held to the same standard. V'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim is for every single one of us. And that means that our entire day, 24/7, is geared towards being l'shem shamayim, doing things for the right reason. And that's a big mistake that people make. If you're going to make a decision, because after a cheshbon ha'nefesh, a person decides that he's not cut out for that, that's not a decision in how much time of avodas Hashem you're putting into your day. There's no kviyas itim of avodas Hashem, like we have in the Rambam says in Talmud Torah that you can yomam v'layla. That's all day, every day, and every single person is held to that standard. There's no exception. That's not a choice. That's not a decision. That's a chiv upon each one of us. How you're going to go about that, how many hours a day you're going to learn, that's a decision in Parnassa. That's a decision, like the Orson Matt says, in everybody's chiv at Talmud Torah, which is in fact different for each person. My father, Harini Kapars Mishkovo, was a person who I think many people here can relate to. He was a successful surgeon, and he was in the workplace. My father was a person who was nehenem yigia kapov, and maybe you could categorize, as a simple balabas. But the truth is, he wasn't simple, and he wasn't really a balabas. He developed into a leader in his community, certainly in his family, and he was somebody who in every aspect of his life, he was striving for v'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. His ben odom l'chavero in the workplace. Nurses, non-Jewish nurses, came to be Menachem Avo during the Shiva. And they said to us, "You don't understand how your father treated us with such kavod, with such respect in the operating room." They said, "You don't understand how surgeons are in the operating room. It's not always so pleasant at all. And there's a tense mood that's in the operating room. And very often, the surgeon can get upset and take it out on everybody else around him." Said your father never once spoke to everybody around him with such unbelievable respect. One nurse said to me, "Your father was a great doctor, but he was the greatest person I've ever met." A Christian nurse said this to me. I told this story over. When my father was training, he was in fellowship. So he was training under a very chashuv doctor. And my cousin told this to me also at Shiva, told this story. Never heard this from my father directly. And he was in the operating room, and the surgeon got so upset in the operating room, literally took his instruments, threw them against the wall, and was berating everybody in the operating room, the nurses and the assistants. And my father was sitting there, in fellowship training underneath this person. My father got up and walked out. And his colleagues looked at him like, "What are you doing? Like, you're training under one of the top doctors over here." And he said, let me tell you something. He said, "If this is how he acts in the operating room, I have absolutely nothing to learn from him. I'm leaving." And he left. And he trained under somebody else who wasn't as chashuv, but who he felt that he could learn from. My sister, my younger sister, so she was training to be a physician's assistant. Torsky actually told this story over recently in a chinuch shir. He's discussing Ben Adam Lechabero. And he quoted the following story, which he heard from my sister at the Levaya. So my sister was following him around. shadowing my father for a day. She was going to be a PA. She was shadowing my father, going to go to all the surgeries that he had lined up that day. And they get there in the morning, and they see that all the cases are backed up. Every case is delayed from 30 to 45 minutes from the beginning. And my father is getting agitated, very agitated. So my sister, she says, "Dad, relax, okay? It's 30 minutes. You don't have office hours today. So what's the big deal? What are you getting so upset about?" So my father turns to my sister and said, "You think I'm upset about the fact that my schedule is delayed today? That's not why I'm upset. Do you understand that every case I have, every patient is waiting for the surgery with their family, anxious, nervous, unsure, uncertain, and they get told that they have to wait an extra 45 minutes for their case to begin? Do you know what that does to a family? Do you know what it does to a patient?" That's what was going through his mind. It wasn't about himself, it was about other people. That is somebody who's working, who's literally being mekadesh shem shamayim on a daily basis. And this is something for all of us here to be inspired by and to try to implement when we actually go out and are in that world. My father, Harina Kapar Shmishkova, was musically talented. He had a very good ear for music. And V'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. What did he use his musical talent for? He used it to compose zmiros. Zmiros for the Shabbos table. He used to come up, when we were younger, we were kids, he used to come up every once in a while with a new zemer that he composed himself. And every zemer would have parts for all the kids to get everybody involved in singing zmiros at the Shabbos table. And, this is something which all of us should be thinking about, right? How do we want our Shabbos table to look? How can we use our talents? You're a good storyteller, so that'll be your talent that you'll use to get your kids involved at the Shabbos table. It's funny, when we were growing up, any of our friends that would come over for a Shabbos meal, you were told the following thing. It's no wonder why not that many friends came to my Shabbos table. My father would say the following to every guest. He'd say, either a Dvar Torah, or sing a Zemer, or if you can't do either of those, you can sweep the floor. That was his line to all the guests. And Kachava, every single Shabbos meal, there was a Dvar Torah, there was Zmiros. It was like that with his kids. It stayed like that for his grandchildren. To be able, this is within all of our reach. In order to take a Suda Shabbos where who knows what we could be talking about at the Suda and create it, L'Shem Shemayim. A meal which is L'Shem Shemayim. There's one other area, the time is already late, that I think should be an inspiration for every single one of us. And that is, my father never made excuses, not in his life, not in his Avodas Hashem. He never made excuses. He was brought up in what we would call today a dysfunctional family. His parents were divorced when he was 3 years old. He had absolutely no relationship with his father for his entire life, basically. His mother was very poor. They were not religious. My grandmother sent him away to a non-Jewish boarding school in Memphis, Tennessee, which was very far away from his only sister. And Hashkacha Pratis has it, his father, his stepfather, when he was about 7th grade, my grandmother remarried, his stepfather became a doctor, was also not religious, but was a doctor in Lakewood at the time. And there was a few people instrumental in, allowing him to become frum. One of them, maybe Dov Wolowitz, was very instrumental, the London brothers, Hichal HaTorah, he went to actually that high school. But my father had no support and encouragement. In fact, at his bar mitzvah, when he started to become frum a little bit, he didn't know much, but he knew you're not supposed to drive on Shabbos. At his bar mitzvah, he tells the story, it's so painful. His parents made him get in a car to go to his father, he had no relationship with, to land off Torah, which they didn't even let him land because there was another kid had a bar mitzvah the same day. That was his bar mitzvah. My mother always says he had every excuse in the world Right? He said, how many people say, I can't do X, Y, and Z because I had a miserable mother, I had a miserable father, I had a miserable upbringing, I had this problem. He never once made an excuse. He made it his business to create a family, which is a family of love, of support, a family of Torah. There was no excuses. In fact, he went to Heichal Torah, which was like a Baal Tshuva high school, which it was yeshiva high school, not much of yeshiva, not much of a high school. But he had no his secular education was also very weak, but certainly his Lumude Kodesh was also weak. He went to YU. He started in the JSS program while being pre-med. And by the time he graduated YU, he was in the REITS program. How many of us who belong in the REITS, in the YP program, end up after one or two semesters finding excuses because I can't get this class and this class, end up in the JSS program, where they don't belong? And my father pushed himself. He didn't make excuses. He could have made all the excuses in the world. Pushed himself in his learning. He pushed himself in his life. Just end with two other things that I think we can all gain inspiration from as well. Along the lines of not making excuses, the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks of 3 weeks of his life, he literally was bedridden. He couldn't move. He could barely talk. The last few weeks, he could barely talk, say very, very few words. The two things that he said was Shabbos and Shul. It was the only things that came out of Shabbos and Shul. And he was insistent, literally could not move his body, that he go and be taken to Shul. I know, Ty, I think you were there that Shabbos. How are we going to get my father to shul? So the nurse said, I don't know what the shul thing is, but he really wants to go. I'm like, this is crazy. He literally couldn't turn to one, even one side or the other. She brought in a crane that literally craned him up off the hospital bed, which was in the house, lifted him up in the air, swung around, took about five of us to do this, put him in the wheelchair, lifted the wheelchair down the stairs, and we brought him up to shul. That was his one request. To be in the Beis HaKnesses. Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. And he did this, and when we brought him to shul, the second he went into shul, there was a smile on his face. Sitting in shul. Why do I say this story? It's how many of us who are healthy, who Baruch Hashem can turn over side to side, who can wake up in the morning and go to Minyan, to daven in the Beis Knesset and not in your room. But we can't do it. We're too tired. We're too lazy. I can't do it. That's an excuse. No excuses. If it means enough to you, and if it doesn't, then that's something to work on. Person should daven in the Beis Knesset. In learning, he always tried to be kovei itim. He had tremendous kavod for rabbanim, especially the rabbi of his shul, Rabbi Yaakov Lubin, who Rabbi David knows well. Rabbi Lubin years ago gave a speech how Baal Batim have to start accomplishing in Torah. He said, Shas Mishnayos, a Baal Bas should learn Shas Mishnayos. The next day, my father, again, not the strongest background. You know, they had the English Kahatis back then, started buying them one by one, he finished Shas Mishnayos. At the end of his life, this is after last year's Shavuos, where he couldn't focus, the medications, it was very difficult for him to focus. He told me, after Shavuos, I called him, and he said, Hillel, I'm starting to learn Maseches Megillah. I said, Dad, you can't concentrate. How are you going to learn Maseches Megillah? He said, I'm going to learn one Amud a day. This is his lashon, I have to stop making excuses. No more excuses. I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn again. Excuses? You can't focus for more than a couple minutes. He said, the Gemara is going to be out there. Spend 2 minutes. Come back to it later. I'll keep coming back to that Amud till I learn the Amud for that day. Like the Rambam that we learned, the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Kol Ish Miyisrael Chai B'Talmud Torah, Ben Oni, Ben Ashir, the Rambam says, Ben Shalom B'Gufo, Ben Bal Yisurin, everybody's Chai in Kfiyas Yitamud Torah. And us, who Baruch Hashem, are healthy, are capable of coming to the Beis Medrash, but yet sometimes, it just doesn't happen. Let my father serve, Harini Kapar Samshkavo, serve as an inspiration for everybody here. The path he chose is a path that many of you would like to choose. But at the end of the day, it has to be, like we spoke about in the Rambam, V'chol ma'asecha yuhu l'shem shamayim. How much time you're going to learn is a different question. It's the Or Sameach, that's a Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch Aruch. Yitzhak Hashem, hopefully we should all take inspiration from my father, Harini Kaparas Mishkavo, and from all of our fathers, as we saw in the questionnaire. But the biggest bracha that I give to everybody here is that in a few years, when you're all Yitzhak Hashem fathers, that your children should be able to look to you and say, Abba, Tati, Dad, you are my role model. Thank you for listening.
Quick, we also have to point out, Monday night is going to be the grand seating banquet. So keep in mind that there will be an open mic towards the end of the evening where everybody will be able to express their feelings.